Thank you, Brenda. What a great reminder that we can find rest in God. And Scripture tells us, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. And what? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Last week, we began our walk through Ephesians, didn't we? The Startling Mystery is what I've entitled this series of sermons. And I know last week we looked at the first two verses of this chapter, and you're probably thinking, Jonathan, I thought you said this was going to be a walk, not a crawl. But I find myself, when I read the writings of Paul, just how rich they are, and I struggle with glossing over anything. And so that's why I've entitled it a walk through Ephesians, because I want us to take our time and to see the specific reasons why Paul chooses the words he does and why he is encouraging and even challenging the Ephesians at times. Now, what we see before us today in this passage of Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 1, 13, or 3 through 14, this is actually one long sentence in Greek, probably the longest sentence in all of the Bible. Paul is notorious for his long run-on sentences. Marcus, you could probably pick out a lot of run-on sentences that Paul, it seems that he does in Scripture. But I don't want to tackle all of this today, all right? And that's why you see Blessed in Christ, Part 1. I'm actually going to take this in four parts. We'll do Part 1 today. I am not here next week. Brother David James from the state office, he is the collegiate and young leaders team leader at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. He will be here next week. But the following 3 weeks, we'll look at just how we are blessed in Jesus Christ. But today I want to talk about the eulogy. In fact, when I'm back with you 2 weeks from the day, we'll start looking at those seven ways in which we are appointed, we are adopted, we're accepted, we're acquired, we're acquainted, we're apportioned, and we're appropriated. There's seven ways, and I think it's this is what Paul's trying to do here at the beginning. We're just going to look at verse 3 today, and you're like, oh, wow, maybe we'll get out early today, right? Just one verse. He had two verses last week, and we went right on all the way up to 12 o'clock. I may be a little bit shorter today. So, but I want to talk about this idea of blessing. I'm going to read through this entire passage since it is one long sentence in Greek. I'm not going to read it in Greek, but I'll read it from my translation here. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he planned in him for the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth, in him. In him we were also made his inheritance." We sang about that just a minute ago, didn't we, Al Ray? "His inheritance, predestined according to the purpose of the one who works out everything in agreement with the decision of his will, so that we, who had already put our hope in the Messiah, might bring praise to his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him, when you believed, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. Amen. What a rich passage of Scripture. And like I said, I don't want to tackle it all this morning, but I do want to look at this first verse, verse 3, first verse of this sentence. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. So my first question to you this morning, and I'm going to come back to this at the end of the service, is, does your life eulogize God? And I ask this question very specifically because of the words that Paul uses here in verse 3. Does your life eulogize God? If you look at these words that I'm talking about, these three words, it's blessed, blessed, and blessing. These words in the Greek are eulogitas, eulogeo, and eulogia. And it sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Eulogitas, eulogeo, and eulogia. And they're a compound Greek word from eu, meaning to be well of or to prosper, and logos, meaning word or speech. And when you combine these two words, you form the word eulogeo. And when used of man expressing to a man or man expressing to God, it means to speak well of. When this same compound is used of God expressing to man, it means a favorable expression toward. Basically, eulogeo means to express a good attitude or to speak well of something or someone. This is where we get our word, and you probably already figured this out, eulogy. Eulogy. Many times, we relegate that word or the use of eulogy when? At funerals, right? I remember my mom's funeral earlier this year. My dad wrote a poem to eulogize my mom. And in that poem, you know what he did? He spoke well of her. You have probably been at other services where they might have recited a poem or they told stories about the individual who had passed. And what do they normally do? They speak well of that person. It truly is a shame, though, that we relegate that word. I believe it's a shame. We relegate that word to funerals. Because when you eulogize someone, now sometimes, let me come back on this. Sometimes when a person retires, you'll hear someone eulogize that person, correct? I don't know if anybody has ever been to a retirement party. They may not have used that word at that retirement party, but they did eulogize that person because they talk about that person as they have worked at that place or whatever, okay? But it's used when that person is still alive. Now, and if you think about that, really, we should be in the habit of eulogizing one another often. We should speak well of one another. When someone has done something, especially in regards to spiritual things, something for God, we should speak well of that person. So now you understand why I ask that question at the beginning, do you eulogize God? So what am I saying? I'm saying, or what am I asking? I'm asking, does your life speak well of God? Right? Does my life, I'll make it personal, does my life speak well of God? And I believe that as Christ's followers, we should speak well of God every day of our lives. And much like we talked about this morning when we're talking about praising God for what He's done in our lives. That's one great way of eulogizing God. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first of all, I want to look at this passage because Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So I've got to ask the question this morning, how does God eulogize us? How does He extend a favorable expression for us, right? And we've already kind of talked about that in the things that He does for us. But I want to look at how Paul talks about this. He first uses the word every. He has blessed us with every. So when you think of the word every, what do you think of? All. Yes, thank you. All, right? I mean, it's simple, right? I wasn't fishing for like a really spiritual answer or anything like that. But every means all. God has given us everything. That's what Paul is saying. He's with every spiritual blessing. Paul uses the word every in conjunction with God's blessing to let it be known that Christians do not lack any blessing that is available from God. Scripture attests to this, doesn't it? And we could come up with several. I have a few here this morning. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Paul says this, "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare his own son." I believe that's on the front of the bulletin, isn't it? 8:32. "He did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us what? Everything." Everything. Paul's saying, if God didn't spare his own son, how's he not going to give us everything else that we need? God gives us everything that we need for salvation, correct? He even gives us the gift of faith in our lives. He gives us the opportunity to respond. And when we respond in faith, guess what happens in our life? We're saved. We're redeemed, and I'm going to talk about this in the next three sermons in the part one or two and three and four. I think Paul talks about this. He talks about God blessing us with every spiritual blessing, and then he says, "If you want to know what a little bit of that is, let me explain to you." All right, and so he gives us seven things, but we'll talk about that a little bit more. But God gives us everything that we need. We lack nothing in God. Tullian Chavijan had a book, and I know some of you don't know who that is. He is the great grandson. Grandson married to Billy Graham. He had a book called "Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything." It's a very simple equation for our lives, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. If we have Jesus in our lives, do we need anything else? The answer to that question is no, we don't. We have everything. Now, one of our struggles as human beings, and even as let's talk about us as even as Americans. We have bought into this idea that we need to accumulate things. You know, we have the right to what? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in that pursuit of happiness, we have put everything else other than Jesus in that definition of happiness. You look around in the world today, people try to fill their lives with everything but Jesus. But truly, Scripture tells us that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And that's what Paul's trying to say there, even in Romans chapter 8. I got three more verses that I want to go to. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Paul says this, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, did not become yes and no. On the contrary, yes has come about in him." Now listen to verse 20. "For every one of God's promises is what in Christ? Yes." Or was it just a few of God's promises that are yes in Christ? Was it 50% of God's promises? Was it the majority of God's promises are yes in Christ? All of God's promises. So I would challenge you at some point even maybe later today, skim through the Word of God. Look for His promises. And then remember this, that all those promises that you read in the Word of God, they are yes in Jesus Christ. So let me tell you this morning, as a Christ follower, if you are in Jesus Christ, and let me hold back just for a second, because I don't know if you noticed in those verses that I just read how many times it says in Him, in Jesus, in Christ, in Him. Did you hear that? Did you read that? In Him. Every one of God's promises are yes. So again, I tell you this morning that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's what Paul is trying to convey with this word, every. I've got two more verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus." I'm going to read that again. "And my God will supply all your needs." Now, a lot of times we look at this verse and we think about physical needs, don't we? But look at what he says here. "According to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He's going to supply all your needs. If you're in the need of grace in your life, guess what he's going to do? He's going to pour out grace. If you're in the need of mercy in your life, guess what he's going to do? He's going to pour out mercy. If you're in the need of peace in your life, guess what he's going to do? He's going to pour peace in your life. All you have to do is go to him, because according to the riches and glory, let me ask you this question. Will those riches ever run out? The answer to that question is no, they won't. God has enough to go around for everyone. So again, every spiritual blessing. And the last thing I wanted to mention this morning in 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse chapter 1, verse 3. "For his divine power has given us" what? "Everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. So should we have an excuse in our lives to not eulogize God in how we live it? How we live our lives. We have no excuse, do we? Really, honestly. We have no excuse, and I'm not beating you up this morning, because I'm with you this morning. I will freely admit that my life does not always speak well of God, because I, even though I am saved by grace, and although I believe that when I was almost 8 years old and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, from that moment I have been in Him, I have not always lived my life in the way that's pleasing to Him. But I will also say that I have not had an excuse, because the Holy Spirit who is inside of me has given me everything required for life and godliness. Our goal is that we work toward godliness each and every day, tapping in to what the Spirit has, what He's offering us. That temptation that we struggle with each and every day. God has given us everything that we need. I'm using that word a lot, aren't I? He's given us everything we need to overcome, hasn't He? He's blessed us with every spiritual blessings. So let's look at that other word, and we've kind of already talked about that. It's the spiritual. Our blessing is spiritual. Our blessing places us above all principalities and powers in the spiritual realm, and our blessing is found totally in Jesus Christ. We do not lack any spiritual blessing that is available from God, because through Jesus we experience all that the Lord is. In Him we are blessed with all the favor that the Father has bestowed upon His Son. Now, let me read that last sentence one more time, and I'll read it just a little bit slower, because I know sometimes when I get excited, I read things fast. So let me slow down. In Him we are blessed with all the favor that the Father has bestowed upon His Son. And why is that? Because we are in Christ. All the favor that God bestows upon His Son is now on us. That should make you stand up and shout hallelujah this morning. Praise the Lord. Maybe we should do that. We won't do that. You know, did you ever been in churches in the past, and some of the younger ones in here, they're like, no, I've never been in a place like that. But they would split the church. I say split the church. They won't split the church, but they divide it in two sections, and they do the, maybe let's do it this morning. No, I'm just kidding. They would do the hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Okay, yeah, some of you have been there. Okay. Maybe we should do that this morning when we're talking about every spiritual blessing, because all the favor of God that he bestows upon his son is on us as Christ followers. That's amazing. That should give us every reason in the morning as we wake up and our feet hit the floor to have a smile on our face. And I know that's hard sometimes. It's hard for me because I wake up and I'm just like, oh, did I really sleep? But it should give us every reason, right? To wake up with a smile on our face and a song in our heart. I can't tell you how many mornings, Al Ray, that I wake up and a certain song will be on my mind and the rest of the day. And honestly, it's what I needed for that day. And it's because God. It's because he gives us that song in our heart. 2 Peter 1:4, if you were there already, we read verse 3. I want to read verse 4. He says, by these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. Do you hear that this morning? Do you hear that? So that you, through them, you may share, you may fellowship, you may participate in the very divine nature of God. If we are in Christ, we can share in the divine nature of God. I'm not saying that we are little gods. I'm saying that God, through the mystery of the gospel, this startling mystery of the gospel, he has infused our life with righteousness and godliness in such a way that we can participate and share in the divine nature. That's what sets us apart, isn't it? As Christ followers, isn't that what sets us apart from everybody else in the world who is not a Christ follower? And when people see that in our lives, I think if they do see that in our lives, then they can't help but ask the question, why are you so different? And our answer, I mean, Christ. It's not me. It's just God allowing me to share in all that he is. These spiritual blessings we think about, and I've already mentioned a few of them. We find them in Galatians chapter 5, don't we? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so forth. All these things, because we are in Christ, we can experience them in a way that we couldn't without him. Charles Spurgeon says this, our thanks are due to God for all temporal blessings. They are more than we deserve. But our thanks ought to go to God for, in the thunders of hallelujahs, for spiritual blessings. A new heart is better than a new coat. To feed on Christ is better than have the best earthly food. To be an heir of God is better than being the heir of the greatest nobleman. To have God for our portion is blessed, infinitely more blessed than to our own broad acres of land. God hath blessed us with spiritual blessings. These are the rarest, the richest, the most enduring of all blessings. They are priceless in value. So now let's get to what I asked earlier in the question, does your life eulogize God, by asking another question, how does your life eulogize God, or how should it eulogize God? Well, with our words. If you were to go over to the book of Psalms, and there at the end of that glorious book, that collection of Psalms, beginning in Psalm 145, you see psalms devoted to praising God over and over and over again. I exalt you, my God, the King, and praise your name forever and ever. That's 145. 146, hallelujah, my soul, praise the Lord. 147, hallelujah, how good it is to sing to our God, for praise is pleasant and lovely. 148, hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens. 149, hallelujah, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. And then lastly, Psalm 150, hallelujah, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his powerful acts, praise him for his abundant greatness, praise him with trumpet blast, praise him with harp and lyre, praise him with tambourine and dance. I'm not going to dance this morning. Although some of you might think I've been dancing around up here. Praise him with flute and strings. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you were to look in your hymnal, and I'm not going to sing a bunch of songs, although I kind of feel like I need to. If you were to look on page 763 in the back of your hymnal, it lists the hymns that we find in this collection that are devoted to praising and adoration of God the Father and Jesus Christ. It actually flows over to the other page. Do you see how many? Do you see how many that are devoted to the praise of God? I should tell you something this morning, that we should eulogize God with our words, because we sing. That's why we sing. That's why, in my opinion, and I love music. There are many songs out there, but there are no songs that are more sweet than those that praise God. For out of the depths of our hearts, we want to sing of His glory and His praise because of everything, right? That He has given us for life and godliness. Every spiritual blessing, let our voices sing. Praise Him, praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. Right? We sing that from time to time. I quoted the doxology this morning. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Right. We praise Him with our words. And we don't just have to sing them in here, right? When we're out and about, and I'm not saying that we should just go around with our hands up in Walmart. I mean, if you want to do that, you can. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, things like that. But we should, in our conversations, maybe having the praise of God dripping from our tongues, so that people know, not just that we are Christ followers, not that we are religious or anything like that, but that they know that God is good. God is good. And then lastly, this morning, we should eulogize God with our actions. Romans 12:1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable act of worship or service. some translations. Romans 12, 1. And then Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17 says this, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Charles Spurgeon said this, "We are not sitting here and groaning and crying and fretting and worrying and questioning our own salvation. He has blessed us, and therefore we will bless him. If you think little of what God has done for you, you will do very little for him." Let me repeat that. If you think little of what God has done for you, you will do very little for him. But if you have a great notion of his great mercy to you, you will be greatly grateful to your gracious God. You hear what he's saying? The more we think about how good God has been to us, the more we think about every spiritual blessing that we have been blessed with, guess what? Our lives will eulogize God. So let me ask you that question one last time this morning as we close. Does your life eulogize God? Does it speak well of him in all that you say and all that you do? I would encourage you this morning as we bow our heads and to close our eyes. To think about the many ways that God has blessed you. Not just with material things, but those spiritual blessings. Those spiritual blessings. Because those are the ones that far outweigh anything that we can receive here on earth in the way of material possessions. And maybe this morning, as we have this time of response, that your response to God this morning would be, "Thank you. Thank you. Help me. Help me, Father, to speak well of you. And the things that I say, and in the things that I do." Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, "Jonathan, I haven't experienced any of these spiritual blessings because quite honestly, I don't have a relationship with God." Let me encourage you this morning that the greatest spiritual blessing you will ever receive is to have your sins taken away. And that can happen this morning. That can happen. I want to encourage you, come forward. Place your life in the hands of God. Let him forgive you this morning and to take your sins away. And then, you can start living your life in a way that speaks well of God because he's been so good to you. Wherever you find yourself this morning, won't you respond to the Holy Spirit in your life? Father, how we love you. And we do give you the praise this morning. And we hand off this response time to you. May we respond appropriately. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you